Weather Service.
September 2020. The National Hurricane Center predicted Hurricane Sally would come ashore in Mississippi.
A hurricane warning has now been issued.
But then, Sally made a right turn and surprised us by coming ashore here with a destructive power we have not seen since Hurricane Ivan, which is why you should keep your radio on News Radio 92.3 for all the latest watches, warnings, and full team coverage should the storm make that unexpected change of course. News Radio 92.3.
Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay in the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
A Monday warrior, mean, mean stride. Today's Tom Sawyer, mean, mean pride.
Morning, everyone. We're here for public forum. Public forum is an opportunity for the public to get up and speak about anything they'd like to discuss.
You also advertise it as unlike anywhere else. Don't you realize how precious and rare this remaining open beach frontage is? This land is in a protected marine park where you are pushing to build this event center and boardwalk. It's the last few acres of open beach left. If it is built, you will have given up your competitive advantage over the other beaches. It will be just another cluster of buildings blocking the pristine views of the Gulf and cluttering up the beachscape like every other town, beach town in the state of Florida. You will have destroyed the very image that all your marketing people have focused on for years. I believe that if those 750,000 travelers who voted for our beach knew that what you are proposing, they would all be in this room right now screaming no.
So this is from the Santa Rosa County Tourism Development Commission or Council meeting that took place. When was this? Last Wednesday, I want to say Thursday. Anyway, and you know, people were there who were upset about the live on, you know, Navarre Beach. They were upset about the proposed boardwalk, not even proposed, that's out for bid right now. The boardwalk, the four truck food truck court, the shops, the walk over to the dunes, the restroom, you know, facility, and also the parking lot and the event space that, you know, is under consideration. It's been bid out in parts, and it's going to come back. They got to wait for the bids to come back. But I would expect the county commission meeting. We got the committee review meeting this morning, and that's like the agenda review for people who do not live in Santa Rosa County if you want to understand how they're set up. And then Thursday is a regular meeting. I would expect these people to be there because they have been told those are the only folks that can handle this. And as Colton Wright said the last time this came up in the meeting, we will have, you know, a special meeting about this. I do not think that that's a yet. I don't think that that's come in yet. But in any case, there's people who are upset about this. Now, what I liked about the TDC meeting after they got a good brief on tourism, we'll get to that maybe tomorrow or something. I don't have time to do it today. But, you know, the people spoke, but also several of the members of the commission or the council, the TDC, spoke. And I do not know who the individual speakers were. I actually looked online to see if I could find a list of the members of the TDC. I couldn't find it anywhere. Maybe I'm just stupid. It happens sometimes. There's an oversight. Oh, I should have looked at it this way. Anyway, so I'm not sure in the names of any of these people. Yes, God help me. I'm watching the TDC meetings in Santa Rosa County now. But okay, here we are. Just can't help myself. Board members were, I don't want to say fighting back or pushing back, but they kind of were. You know, they were kind of answering the objections, which I think is good. I don't like it when they sit there and people say things that are, you know, based on misinformation or less information or just, I want you to help them. I actually think that, like in this case, when you're talking about this proposed project, you should put the pictures up on the board of what it looks like, at least if you can project them on a screen or something. Not because that's a persuasion, but because let's just make sure everybody knows what we're talking about. I still think a lot of the people who are upset about this haven't seen the pictures, because the things they say do not match what the pictures represent. Now, they might still be opposed, even if you saw the renderings, but, you know, at least let's be sure everybody knows what we're talking about. So this is one of the board members.
My apologies for interrupting the speakers, but I have a doctor's appointment that I have to get to, and I made this long before we knew this meeting was going to be this long. So I just want to... I made some notes while people were speaking, and I just want to make a couple clarifications. This isn't in any particular order. For whoever said visitors are not coming here for restaurants on the beach, that is incorrect. I do work at the only hotel out on the beach, and I am constantly asked for other opportunities for our guests. We do lose some repeat visitors to our neighbors because they have more things to do. The new event space is much larger than the event space at the Spring Hill Suites. And the event space at the Spring Hill Suites is never going to get any bigger. I have multiple people contact me, and quite a few of them are locals, and they cannot find an event space large enough for their local events. And I have to send them to Okaloosa County.
Which is part of the reason that they wanted to build this in the first place, is because it solves a problem where we're losing people to other locations. She says we lose people based on restaurants, and, you know, because the people who live on the beach, you know, who are protesting this, want to say, look, people don't come here for the restaurants. Okay, they're not coming here for the nightlife. You know, okay. But if they're staying on the beach and they're tourists and they're visitors, they need to eat somewhere. And they're asking for places to go, especially because, you know, they don't prefer to have to drive back to the mainland. It's not that far, but, you know, it's inconvenient. Is there a place we can walk to, right? That makes sense. There's, you know, more restaurants on the mainland, obviously, or on the, you know, peninsula. But still, I get why that would be valuable. And the same thing for the event space. Anyway, I like that they're talking back, that they're explaining back, you know, kind of here's what we were thinking. And I just want to answer some of these objections because people make them. 6:15 on News Radio 92.3. PJ has traffic on the fives.
No accidents or delays to report. Navy Boulevard and Gulf Beach Highway not showing any delays. If you see anything, 437-1620. I'm PJ, the traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, PJ. One of the other things that came up in that conversation is just, it was kind of a clarifying what the TDC is, what the tourism development tax, the bed tax money goes to. And I actually sympathize with, I think it was the board chair who later on said, look, a lot of you, I understand you're frustrated because maybe you don't understand the process and how these things work, which is true. I think most people do not understand the processes and who's responsible for what and who to complain to and who to ask questions of and where in the process we are. That's partially their own fault. That's partially the fault of government. That's partially the fault of news people like me failing to explain it well enough, which is one of the reasons why I try to, you know, one of my basic goals for this show is, you know, we talk a lot about local government. If you listen to this program, I want you to not be confused about who does what and who you like in office and who to complain to. I'd like you to know who your county commissioners, your city council members and all these people are, because it's very easy not to, you know, and I want you to understand in a way that I think in a lot of communities, people do not understand. Here, a lot of people do not understand. And if they're frustrated, like, well, you know, who voted for it? I'll go to this board. I can complain to this board because, you know, they're meeting in a place that I understand. Jonathan Kanzig is the new fire chief out of Navarre Beach. And he was explaining, for example, that tourism tax money goes to pay for the lifeguards, something that not everybody knows necessarily.
Oh, quick introduction. I'm Jonathan Kanzig. I'm the new fire chief at the beach. And first, thank you, Madam Chair, for allowing me to speak. First, I want to thank the TDC for the money you provide to the fire district to provide the life-saving service of the lifeguards. We do have 35 part-time temporary lifeguards that work mostly seasonal and one full-time employee. So talking about the money going back into the local economy, we do employ 35 people that protect our beach.
Yeah, it's a good note, and it's not the controversial thing here, but it is a piece of information that not everybody has. And that was, I think, all that he was being asked to provide. One of the members of the public who came to speak, Hope Bush, 90% sure. Sometimes the announcement of who's saying what, I think she, like there had been another person announced and she didn't say a comment and then Hope Bush did. So I think this is Hope Bush. Anyway, raising objections about the Julie White, who is the director of tourism for Santa Rosa County and the ownership of a wedding business and how that's been alleged to be a conflict of interest for her because the event space would serve her business. I told you before, I didn't think that was a legitimate objection, but it came up again, and there was a good conversation about this.
I'm not here to cast aspersions. I'm here to get something cleared up. I keep hearing repeatedly, or reading rather, on Facebook about Ms. White. I don't know you, Ms. White, but I will ask this question to clear up the conflict of interest question. Are you in any way in the wedding business, in Royal Beach Weddings, or are you affiliated with that? I want to, you know, get that conflict of interest cleared up, if that even exists. I'm asking if it does exist.
Madam Chair, obviously we'll let Julie answer that question, but just to be clear, this is not a wedding venue. It, much like any community center that the county has, it's open for any type of activity. I actually sent Ms. Malillo an email last week. I don't know if she got a chance to read it, but the way that we do any reservations is it goes through a third-party system. It's called ActiveNet. It would be the same for any new facility as it would be for a pavilion at Minnie Russell Park or this room right here. So it would in no way be connected to any county employees, outside, hobby, other specialty.
I'm just trying to clear up the conflict of interest that's going around on Facebook.
Which, to her credit, I'm glad she's asking and giving a chance to respond. Julie White, for her own part, said...
Thank you, ma'am. Yes, I've never hid it that I own a company that is a wedding company. This was not my idea, though, ma'am. You need to understand, to build a community center, okay? Would I want to even use that for my wedding company? Absolutely not.
Okay.
So, I mean, problem solved, right? And that's why I like an airing of the grievances, because she doesn't plan to use it for her wedding business. It doesn't fit her wedding business, apparently. As she said, it was built for other reasons. But, you know, people, they're like terrible detectives. You know, they get, like, one piece, because you're not looking to figure out what the truth is. You're looking for reasons to validate the conclusion you've already arrived at. And when the conclusion you've already arrived at is that a thing is genius or terrible, you'll find any reason to validate that. Yeah, think about how you deal with people. You know, if you have gotten to the point in a relationship with somebody, you think that person is terrible. Everything they do gets filtered through that lens. You ignore the things they do right. You fixate on the things they do wrong. And you repeat in your minds the grievances or wounds or stupidities or whatever they've done. And that magnifies to take over 100% of your view of that person. Are you being reasonable and evidence-based? Is that, you know, court of law kinds of evidence handling? No, it's bias. You know, people always talk about bias in the media. Okay, I understand. You know, meanwhile, consuming social media, careful. you know, I'm just telling you, we do a lot better job than the average person on social media does at presenting information. Not everybody's perfect. No, I am also not. But, you know, the folks who say the media is biased and turn around and get their news off of Facebook, oh, good Lord, you know, what's wrong with you? But, okay, so same thing here. One of the key biases in the world is whatever conclusion you already have on any subject, you tend to be open to information that confirms that bias, and you will twist evidence into a form that confirms that bias, and you tend to be blind and reject and don't pay attention to and diminish the value of evidence and reasons that contradict your bias or contradict your conclusion. And so, I mean, I'm thinking about the average person on the beach who hears they're going to turn Navarre Beach into Panama City. No, they're building a boardwalk. I've seen boardwalks. Boardwalks are huge and ugly and loud and obnoxious, and they want to turn that open space of sand next to the traffic light, southeast of the traffic light, they want to turn that into a boardwalk. What's wrong with you people? How stupid can you possibly be? Oh, and Julie White's got a wedding business. Oh, she's obviously, I mean, you connect the tiniest of dots into an emotionally based conclusion, and any evidence will do. And you got to beware of that. That's all I'm saying. Now, I also had a, you know, I love Navarre Beach. I love what it looks like. I love the pristines. And as they, you know, the most relaxing place, nobody wants to turn it into some dance club metropolis. That's not even what this is about, okay? But I also find it interesting. We were out on our boat over the weekend, and we were on the Sound. We were going east from Woodlawn Beach Boat Ramp, and it's a little tiny boat that goes like 3 knots on a good day. Like, it's, you know, it's inflatable, okay? It's barely a boat. But as we were on the north side of the Sound, and we were going east almost to the Navarre Beach Causeway, And I looked over, and you can see where the Gulf Islands National Seashore is on 399. And then you can see where Navarre Beach starts, because there's nothing. Houses. I appreciate that the people on Navarre Beach don't want more development, but you get that Navarre Beach is already a hyper-developed area. It's not big high-rises for the most part. It's not big, loud nightlife, obviously, but it, you know, there's some, a little bit. But so often our reaction to a thing is, I don't want the next person building a thing, but I'm kind of happy that I got to build mine. I don't want the next person tearing down the trees to clear the lot to build the house, but I'm kind of happy they tore down the trees to clear the lot to build my house. And granted, at some point, if you keep allowing the next person, eventually you get something bigger and uglier and more horrid. So there is a kind of a slippery slope-esque concern. But at the same time, if somebody, and again, this is my perspective as a not a resident of Navarre Beach, but having looked at the renderings and been past that stretch of land a jillion times, it seems to me like this fits a need, and it fits the view, essentially, of the area with the Ramadas down the way, and it's a useful spend of the money to solve a few problems on the beach. That doesn't mean it's the right thing to do. It just means the objections I keep hearing don't seem to fit the facts as I understand them. But, again, Santa Rosa County Commission, they have their meeting this morning. This is not on the agenda, but I'm sure people will be talking about it. Same thing on Thursday until we actually get the bids back and they can have. I'm probably going to have a special meeting on this subject only, and people can show up and they can, you know, pitch a fit or, as is often the case, not show up because they think it's kind of a good idea but not good enough that I want to go get yelled at by other people. You know, that stuff happens. So that's a little bit more information. We'll come back to this at 8:20 because there was more, too. I thought it was a really interesting discussion. 6:25 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. PJ has traffic on the fives.
Thanks, Andrew. Highway 90 is clear from Milton into Pace. Lillian, Jackson, Navy, and New Warrington all checking in accident-free. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, PJ. If you have a business, you have employees, you have benefits like health insurance, dental, vision, life, disability, human resources, payroll, all kinds of stuff like that that you do not want to deal with, but you have to because you have employees. Well, Torgerson Consulting, they can help you with that. This is what they like to do. This is what they got into business to do. They're those nerds in a good way, right? That's what you want. You want, you know, math nerds and insurance nerds to figure other stuff out for you. We've been using them here at News Radio in Cat Country for 5 years, since 2021. They've been doing this for 25 years, since 2001, just helping folks like you figure it out. We got better plans, better, customer service when we went with them. So I'm a fan. My wife is a fan. And, you know, it's hard to get her vote of support, but they do. 433-9996 for Torgerson Consulting. Check them out online at tcbenefitsgroup.com.
Pensacola Hardware is much more than a hardware store. In houseware and giftware, you'll find luxury candles and detergents, along with the finest cutlery, cookware, and the ever-popular woodware. We have the best selection of grills and grilling accessories for your home and backyard. Oh, and don't miss our great selection of birdhouses, feeders, and garden accessories. Shop local and make Pensacola Hardware your first choice in making your house a home. Come see us, 20 East Gregory Street, downtown Pensacola, where customer parking is always free.
What a matchup we've got, folks. Just nonstop action. The energy is electric and the fans are all in. An intense game like this calls for a Coca-Cola. Ah, crisp and refreshing. That's a game changer. Yeah, that taste scores every time. And just like that, they're back at it. Passionate fans and an ice-cold Coca-Cola. Now that's a winning combo. No matter the team, no matter the sport, everyone knows fan work is thirsty work. Enjoy a Coca-Cola.
Bands on the Beach, presented by the Santa Rosa Island Authority, happens Tuesday night at 7 at the Gulfside Pavilion on Pensacola Beach. You're invited to bring a blanket or a lawn chair and relax and enjoy the sunset with your favorite bands. This Tuesday, it's the brother and sister country music duo and Pensacola's very own Pearl and Rafe. Pearl brings the glitter, Rafe brings the grit, and together they bring the party wherever they go. It's Bands on the Beach this Tuesday night at 7 with Pearl and Rafe. Just remember, no pets or glass allowed.
Is your business, church organization, civic group, school, or other nonprofit organization having a fundraiser or other community event? Let News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 help you spread the word. Send us your information to be presented on our Here's What's Happening weekly announcements. We look forward to hearing from you. Submit your events at newsradio923.com.
You're busy. You just need to know what's happening.
What's happening?
Pensacola Right Now
with Chris and Austin.
Weekdays 4 to 7 on News Radio 923, 95.3 and AM 1620.
Holy Frank.
I loved watching Battlestar Galactica because it gave us a non-swear to use. That was always my favorite. Hey, they're saying it on TV. It must be fine. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines this morning. David?
Well, good morning. The NTSB releasing a few more details about the deadly cargo plane crash in Miami on Sunday. Investigators say the Boeing 767 struck a van that was apparently carrying an aircraft cleaning crew, then hit an SUV that was outside of the airport. Of course, five people were killed. Five others were injured. The flight data and cockpit voice recorders have been recovered, and that investigation is ongoing.
Yeah, the news from yesterday, my mind was that there were people in these cars and vans that got killed. Like, the plane killed people in that were not in the plane, you know, by basically running them over. Ugh, crazy.
Three people have died in connection with this year's Burning Man Festival also. The latest death happened while an attendee was being taken to a hospital in Reno. Two other festival goers have also died at that event. And investigators say there were no signs of foul play.
All right, David, thanks so much for the update. Oh, by the way, another note on the Santa Rosa County committee meeting today, the commission meeting on Thursday. It's not a lot of detail, but Santa Rosa County, it says, does not have an ordinance related to the tethering of animals outside. Like in Escambia, there are very strict rules about this. You have to be close by, and you can't do it for a long period of time, and it can't be under 6 months, I think, is the rule. But in Santa Rosa, no. So that's something they're considering creating, a rule on tethering.
New Canadian tariffs targeting roughly $20 billion in U.S. imports went into effect overnight.
Canada is imposing tariffs as high as 50% on milk, steel, and aluminum products, 20% on cheese, paper, or household appliances. The 50% tariffs on Canadian goods include products ranging from wine to hockey equipment and cement, with several key Canadian exports, including energy and critical minerals, exempt.
Fox's Alex Hogan, Hawaii under a state of emergency as Hurricane Lowell closes in as a Category 2 storm. Fox Weather's Mike Seidel is in Kailua, Hawaii on the island of Kauai.
Winds have gusted down nearby Lihue Airport to 84 miles an hour, sustained at 55. Looking at the waves, they're forecasting 15 to 20, even some 25 footers. But the whole area is underwater. There's a lot of debris.
America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning. It is 6:31 here at News Radio 92.3, and right now we've got partly cloudy skies, 75 degrees. We'll check our forecast. That's up in just a couple of minutes. Longtime ECUA board member Walter Dale Perkins has died at 64. Perkins served on the ECUA board for 32 years. He first took office all the way back in 1994 and chose not to seek re-election this year. A commemorative plaque honoring his tenure was dedicated near Pensacola Beach earlier this year. Outside of his public service, Perkins also worked as a social worker, substance abuse counselor, and a local fishing boat captain. He is survived by his daughters, his mother, and seven siblings. Escambia County set to tear down the toll booth entering Pensacola Beach. Demolition on that starting October 11th. Commissioner Ashley Hoffberger says the $6.5 million Pensacola Beach Gateway project will replace that with a gantry system using toll-by-plate technology, cameras, fiber optic communications. Of course, the whole project aimed at improving traffic flow there on the beach. Fees to access the beach won't be changing, but the county does say this new system should ease congestion and improve emergency vehicle access. There's also a separate traffic study underway through the end of November to help guide future improvements, including a parking garage. The Santa Rosa Sheriff's Office is asking the public to vote for its newly wrapped lead car in the 2026 Vehicle Graphics Contest for Law Enforcement Vehicles. The agency shared that request with the community online, hoping residents will help to bring home the win. We do have a link online on the app and the News Radio website if you would like to vote on that. Over in Pritchard, city leaders holding a press conference later today at noon. They'll be updating the public on efforts to rebuild the Pritchard Police Department. This is after, of course, The police chief and several other officers were arrested by the FBI and facing charges. Mayor Carletta Davis will be introducing the Palahire representative leading the search for the city's next police chief. Officials say they are looking for a transformational leader that is focused on accountability and rebuilding the public trust. Well, Lenny Collins, the Marine veteran who brought the country's first permanent replica of Washington's Vietnam Veterans Memorial to Pensacola, has died at 77 years old. Collins was moved to create the wall south after visiting a traveling replica in 1987, eventually raising $500,000 through community fundraisers to build it in 1992. That memorial later grew into Veterans Memorial Park, now home to 13 monuments, more than a million visitors over the years. Collins is survived by his wife of 57 years and two daughters. He'll be laid to rest at the Barrancas National Cemetery. It is 6:35 here at News Radio 92.3. Right now, partly cloudy and 75. Let's check in with PJ, who's got our traffic on the fives.
Just one vehicle crash on the board, and that is East 9 Mile Road at Holsbury, right next to the McDonald's there. No roadblock associated with that. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
We are going to have a small chance of some pop-up showers and thunderstorms today. 30% chance of rain. Otherwise, mostly sunny skies with a high near 89 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 76. For Wednesday, 50% chance of your showers and thunderstorms, high near 88 degrees. Wednesday night, temperatures dropping near 76 degrees. Going into Thursday, 70% chance of rain with a high near 88 and a low near 76. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
And right now it's 75 degrees. We've got partly cloudy skies. Your next news in 30 minutes. We've got breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
I'm Dom Savino with Your Money Now. We could see weight loss treatments prescribed more often to young kids. That's after Novo Nordisk reported its blockbuster drug Wegovy cut obesity rates in kids aged 6 through 11. Novo said kids also went on a diet and were more physically active during the trial. But by the end, 40% of them treated with Wegovy were no longer classified as obese. Car makers all over the world are stretching to stay profitable amid tariffs and keep pace with Chinese rivals. Jaguar Land Rover, Britain's biggest automaker, says it's cutting 4,000 jobs and redirecting that money to electric vehicle production. Meanwhile, Germany's Volkswagen struck a deal with an Israeli investment group to turn one of its car plants into a defense facility, making military equipment. Oil prices are higher after Iran-backed rebels attacked Saudi Arabia. So on Wall Street, stock futures are lower to start the holiday-shortened trading week. That's Your Money Now.
Now there's a new way to take charge of your blood sugar. Introducing New Garlic Healthy Blood Sugar Formula from the makers of the nation's best-selling garlic supplement. New Garlic helps maintain healthy blood sugar levels with clinically supported levels of garlic, plus a custom blend of vitamins and minerals, and it's odor-free. Take charge of your blood sugar with New Garlic Healthy Blood Sugar Formula. These statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Use as directed.
Join Chris Roney from Ace Unlocks tomorrow at 9:30 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Chris will be sharing his years of expertise in the field of locksmithing, talking about topics like security benefits of having your home or business locks inspected and resecured, smart locks, and even reprogramming your car's ECU computer for a lost key fob.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions.
Pump up the volume.
Business moves fast. Orders roll in, deadlines close in. When you ship with USPS Ground Advantage, you can keep up with confidence. Every package stays in our secure network from dock to door. And with nationwide reach, dependable tracking, and upfront affordable pricing, you get built-in peace of mind. You run the business. We run the routes. Visit USPS.com/groundadvantage to learn more.
If you're talking about it, we're talking about it.
The midterm elections. Who will win? Who will not?
One question about the 2026 races is already answered.
It'll all be covered on News Radio 92.3.
Campaign 2026.
This is where the fun begins.
Every step, every day.
If you're talking about it, we're talking about it.
On News Radio 92.3. Informative. Informative. Local. Dependable.
Let it get to the horns. That's the best part. 6:39, News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Ben Scola Morning News. Happy Tuesday to you. I did confirm, not that this is exciting news, but I did, you know, that the five people who were killed in that big cargo jet crash that took place in Miami were all outside the plane. It was all like cars that got hit by the thing as it was going towards that parking lot off the end of the runway. You know, well off the end of the runway, like across the field and everything. So, yeah, kind of horrible day for those people, you know, and others who were wounded in the same incident. Very weird story that comes out of a Walmart elsewhere, not here, but it is a Florida Walmart, so we take a little bit of ownership for this. This is a case where a woman winds up shooting a guy, and then the question is, well, did she do it lawfully? And there's video you can see that's online from what happened at this place. This is in Broward County. And this all started with a parking lot hubbub. So there are two cars, okay? The woman who winds up being the gun user is driving a white Chevy Malibu, and the guy who winds up being the one on whom the gun was used, and he's driving a white Kia SUV. And they're both going into the parking space, and so she pulls past the space, not seeing anybody near her, and goes to back up into it, you know, like to turn right and then back up into it. He, thinking that she's past the space, comes kind of up, and I think she just didn't see that he was there, and he goes to pull in behind her because he thinks she's not taking the space, and then she starts to back up. So you can see it's just kind of a, you know, misunderstanding. Nobody's trying to be a jerk. Everybody thinks they're doing the right thing, just a misunderstanding. Well, misunderstandings go wrong sometimes. So they stop before they hit each other, which is the good news, sort of. And, you know, they're both frustrated. He kind of gets out of the car and starts yelling at her, "What the hell are you doing, stupid?" I mean, there's no sound in the video, so you got to make it up in your head. And she's there with, you know, a kid, and she's just, I don't know, this is weird. So he then abandons his vehicle. I guess they yell at each other for a second or something. He abandons his vehicle and goes in the Walmart. It's in the middle of the aisle, like in the middle of the driving lane. And she's like, well, I guess I'll park. So she parked in the space and backed in. Later, he comes back and is yelling at her again. "I'm going to key your car," allegedly, you know, something like that. And, you know, she's like, "Mister, what the hell's wrong with you?" And then he drives away. Well, he drives away and he drives like two lanes over and then he parks his car and he gets out of the car and walks back to the conflict area. So, you know, this is like, cannot let it go. Cannot just breathe and move on. Cannot, you know, like I always tell my kids, just leave the area. Just leave the area. Take a breath. In 5 minutes, it'll all be over and you'll never even think anything of it. Or, as happened here. So he goes to this, you know, he deliberately moves his car and then he walks back to engage with her again, by which time she's like, "No, no, this is bad." And she's gotten out of the car with her gun in her hand, not pointing at him. And she's got a phone because she's talking to her husband about what's going on. And other people are watching at this point, and they're trying to tell him, "Bro, stop, you know, don't, you know, okay." So he keeps going at her, not really lunging or anything, but it, like, you know, she's standing and he's walking towards her, and she's saying, "What are you doing? Back up. Leave me alone." Like we always teach you in self-defense class. First thing, put your arm up. Create a space, you know, safe space. Tell him to leave you alone. Yell, you know, make it loud. And he just keeps advancing toward her. And according to her, you know, "What are you going to do? You going to shoot me? You going to shoot me?" She's like, "It's Florida, bro. Yeah, I mean, it's legal. You keep advancing towards me. I have a woman in a parking lot who you already have demonstrated several anger issues already." the car next to her car pulls away. So, like, wants no part of all this. And she is basically backwards walking, circling around the open space, and even, I think, one of the other cars, before finally stopping. And he's, like, making gestures at her car, like he's going to damage her car or whatever. Finally, she's standing next to her car, and he comes at her, and she just shoots him in the belly. And then the cops show up, and apparently people were yelling at him to stop, you know, leave her alone. This is going to. And so the cops, she puts her gun on the car. She's talking to her husband on the phone the whole time. She puts her gun on the top of the car. The cops show up. They put her in cuffs because, you know, she just shot a guy. They start dealing with the situation. And later the body camera, she's, you know, doesn't need to have a lawyer present. She's talking to the cop.
Chevy.
So now, like I said, he done made several threats about doing something to my vehicle. So when I see he come walking up again.
By the way, to whatever degree it's of use to you, she's black, he's white. Okay. To whatever. I mean, that doesn't really matter in the situation, but it happens to be a fact.
You walking in my direction, I step out of the vehicle. I had my gun down on the side. I said, sir, please do not approach my vehicle. Do not come near us. He's steady going on about scratching or doing little hand gestures or whatever. I told him, it's not going to go well for you. Please. The other guy's telling him, sir, sir, it's not worth it. Just leave her alone. Leave her alone. Walk away. Walk away.
Good advice.
So you're circling me. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? I've seen tougher assholes than you. Shoot, do it. Do it. Shoot. So you're following me. Sir, I've circled around the other vehicle. I told him several times to back up because you got up on me before I could, like, get back in the vehicle or anything. And you walked up on me several times. And it went from there.
Yeah, and he asks, you know, what do you mean it went from there? And there's the body cameras, the one that I saw, we don't have the rest of it after that. I don't know if it's, I'm sure it's available. But anyway, she used a lot of restraint to a menacing man in a parking lot who's already demonstrated anger issues. And it's hard to tell whether he's actually ever threatened her, you know, exactly. But just advancing towards somebody in a parking lot who is entitled to not have to retreat. That is literally what the stand your ground law says. You know, you're in your house. Stand your ground doesn't apply. You're in your house. You can shoot somebody in your house, you know, if you're afraid for your life. Okay. Stand your ground means out in public, you do not have an obligation to retreat. In a lot of places, you do have an obligation to retreat. Not in Florida, right? You can just stand there, and if they come at you, you can shoot them. Okay, that's the issue. Can you articulate a reasonable concern about your safety? Did he ever threaten her? Well, he threatened her in the sense that he would not leave her alone, and she repeatedly told him to stop, and he kept advancing towards her. Threatening the car is not enough to shoot somebody, but continually coming at you, you don't know what's going to happen. I think she was super patient. Was she completely justified? Not in the sense that he was obviously threatening her life, which would completely justify her. But legally, there's no basis for arresting her. We'll get to that in a second. PJ has traffic on the fives.
Things are looking really good out there. I-10 and 110 are both flowing smooth. If you're on US 98 east and westbound through Navarre, that's looking good as well. I'm PJ with the traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, PJ. So back to this story out of Broward County of a woman who shoots a guy in the Walmart parking lot in something that started originally over just a misunderstanding about who was going to go into a parking space, and it just, you know, it went haywire. And, you know, I believe he lived. I don't know the outcome. You know, the stories I read didn't have anything about that, but it didn't seem like a fatal wound. Okay, it's a belly wound. That takes a long time. So anyway, but she was entitled to stand her ground and not be harassed or advanced upon in a public space by a person who she can articulate a reasonable suspicion of fear from. Again, did he come at her with a weapon or lunge or do something like that? No. But did he continue to follow her around after being warned at gunpoint, back off? Yes. And that's good enough under Florida law. So they did not arrest her. They, you know, uncuffed her and, you know, let her go upon her way. And that's kind of all there is to the story. It's not particularly complicated. It's a good example of the value of cameras to tell you exactly what happened. Person not engaged in criminal activity in a place of a right to be does not have a duty to retreat before using deadly force when they reasonably believe it's necessary to prevent imminent death or great bodily harm. And, you know, harm to the car, you can't shoot him. Harm to you or your kid, you're a woman, he's a man, he's menaced you many times, Yeah, they let him go. They let her go, and rightly so. 6:48 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. If you're thinking about repairing your roof or replacing your roof, or, you know, you're not sure which you need to do or what makes the most sense for you, that's why you call Quality Roofing Solutions. For 20 years, they have been replacing roofs in this area. And, you know, about 90-95% of what they do is roof replacement. About 5-10% is roof repair. Because sometimes that's all you need. But look, by the time you mobilize them in order to do the work to repair, it might make more sense just to go ahead and replace, because you're probably going to have to do it in 2 to 3 or 4 years anyway, and the prices will go up, and you might get insurance benefits from doing it now. I mean, who knows? Just, you know, every case is different. But they'll talk you through all that. 10,000 roofs in 20 years and a 4.9 rating on Google. With the premise, Brian Ward, when I talked to him, his premise for his company is, we just want to be the contractors you can trust. We just want to be the people who stay in the community, who do what we're supposed to do, that you know we're there for you. We're going to warranty these roofs to a lifetime for the workmanship. I mean, nobody does that. That's crazy. But that's, we're going to serve the community through charity and all kinds of stuff. And we're just going to talk to you like people. So if you've been looking for, you know, the company that just kind of does what they're supposed to do, that's Quality Roofing Solutions. QualityRoofingSolutions.com, 777-0961.
You know those big banks where you're just an account number? Where customer service is a chatbot and hold music is your least favorite song? Yeah, we're not that. We're Penair Credit Union. Local, member-owned, and actually built to work for you. With better rates, few if any fees, and service from people who know you by name. So why bank big when you can bank better? Visit penair.org to learn more. Federally insured by NCUA.
Join Jonathan Cook from Jonathan's Flooring and Construction tomorrow at 9 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Jonathan will be sharing his years of expertise on flooring, including insight on materials, installation, and maintenance, plus lots of great advice on home and office remodeling, including the kitchen, bath, cabinets, and more.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
Making the wrong choice can be very costly. Choosing the wrong plumbing company can cost you a lot of money. Hi, I'm Judy Lacey with Barbieri Plumbing, and we've been repairing Pensacola's plumbing problems for over 50 years. We are the local originator of the flat rate pricing system, so you don't have to pay by the hour, and there are no surprises. When you need a plumber, make the right choice and call Barbieri Plumbing. We will make your plumbing great again.
License number RF11067749.
It's the Always Sunny Show. When you're ready to throw a barbecue, it's Always Sunny's. Join us on Friday at 9:30 with me, Eldon Scott, to hear about barbecue events in the Pensacola community, win some amazing prizes, and hear from community leaders and how Sunny's Barbecue has built a strong Pensacola for 40 years. Pep Talk with Eldon Scott, spreading the spirit of barbecue far and wide. Remember to tell Sunny that Eldon sent you.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
When storms pop up fast, it helps to already know where to go.
We've got all the details.
News Radio 92.3.
92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
This is a Marine Amphibious Unit, Major. My men are hard chargers. Lieutenant Ring and Gunny Highway took a handful of young fire pissers, exercised some personal initiative, and kicked ass!
So good. 6:52 on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. David Wayne is in the newsroom this morning with our headlines. David?
Good morning, Andrew. Well, a search is underway for a small plane carrying four family members from the Bahamas to Florida. Bahamian police say the plane lost contact with air traffic control about 13 miles west of the Andros Island on Monday. The Coast Guard sent an aircraft out to assist. That search had to be suspended due to bad weather. The plane was headed to Miami. Hurricane Lowell is bringing damaging surf to Hawaii. Officials say I am terrible with Hawaiian island names.
Spell it.
Kauai. There we go. I've never been to Hawaii.
Kauai is beautiful, by the way.
You've been
there? We did our honeymoon there.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. No, it's fabulous.
Well, wonderful. Now I'm a little jealous, but not today, because they're seeing winds topping 100 miles an hour, Andrew, and surf reaching up to 30 feet.
Not while we were there.
So, well, I'm sure it was much more beautiful then. Hopefully they come through that pretty well. And China's exports jumped 25% in August from a year earlier. Apparently that was fueled by strong demand for high-tech goods and automobiles. China's trade surplus is up $119 billion. Of course, that those figures coming out ahead of a planned meeting between President Trump and Chinese leader Xi Jinping later this month.
All right, very good, David. Thank you so much for the update. We didn't talk about this yesterday. It was Labor Day. We did do a lot of good stuff. We talked yesterday a lot about the DCF report, the grand jury report, and, you know, Don Gates' comments on Friday about what he wants to do. You should go back and listen to the podcast, 6:30 and 7:30. We dealt with that extensively. Was that 6 and 7? No, I think that was... anyway, sorry. I couldn't help myself. Yeah, 6:30 and 6:40 and 7:40 on the podcast page at newsradio923.com. The Lindsey Clancy trial, didn't talk about that. Declared a mistrial. The theory is that there was one juror who was holding out for a guilty verdict on the 9 women, 3 men jury. We don't really know for sure, but that's been... Unless it's been confirmed since then, but typically that kind of stuff is always speculative after the fact because you don't talk about who did what in juries. And, you know, probably the prosecutor is going to bring it again, you would figure. No, this is not a case of double jeopardy. A mistrial means a trial never happened, so you can be prosecuted again for it. This case, though, is really concerning. And not probably for the reasons that you might think. I mean, obviously, if a woman kills her 3 children, allegedly in the throes of postpartum psychosis, which is a much more robust and frightening and horrifying version of postpartum depression, but, you know, thinking she's hearing voices and, you know, all this kind of stuff, and then tries to kill herself afterwards because of, well, you know, whatever. You know, is she culpable? Is she not? What should be done with her? Aspect of this that I don't think we've talked enough about and probably ought to be, especially now that this has happened in another case. We'll get to that in just a second. PJ has traffic on the fives.
There is a brand new vehicle crash, US 90 at Industrial Boulevard in Milton. Use caution through that area. I'm PJ through traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, PJ. So Lindsey Clancy is, you know, there's no trial, so there's no verdict. So she's, you know, where she was. And then you have this story comes out, says an Illinois woman who is charged, and this is awful news, okay? I just don't want you to be prepared for this. An Illinois woman has been charged with killing her 2-year-old son. And she had been closely following the murder trial of Lindsey Clancy, texting with her friends about the case just hours before her son was found dead. They were called to her home in Frankfort, which is outside of Chicago. I've been to Frankfort many times. You know, I mean, I know this area really well. It's where I grew up. Shortly before 4 o'clock, after a neighbor discovered her in the basement, according to prosecutors, they searched the house and they found her fully dressed in a bathtub containing bloody water. She had done things to herself, harm to herself, and killed her child. And she was watching this trial. I think we don't think enough about the harm to our collective decency and decision-making by the things that we focus on in the news. There are many, many, many times where I ignore things that are in the news and don't talk about them myself. Sometimes I do it because I don't have anything to say. Sometimes I do it because, you know, it's just better not to talk about that. If you notice, I don't talk a lot about crime and atrocity on the show. I do it with the police when they, you know, the sheriff, I want to get the facts, but we don't talk a lot about that the rest of the time. I know my news department does. Okay. That's fine. I guess, you know, Fox News does, and that's fine, I guess. But when you turn on the news and it's, you know, what Don Henley talks about, you know, it's crime and horror and murder and mayhem. That's not good. Which is true. That's not good. It's extra not good when the things being done create a normalcy for people who might be tempted to do those things themselves. Columbine and the coverage of it inspired other people to do like that. Right? We know. But that's not a new thing. This is ancient. There's a very old book. It's from 1774, Sorrows of a Young Werther. or Werther, depending on how you prefer your German. PJ, are you familiar with Sorrows of a Young Werther by Goethe, who wrote Faust?
Yes, I'm familiar with that.
Yeah, with the Young Werther?
I'm familiar with Faust.
Oh, that's totally different.
Okay.
I'm saying the other book he wrote was Sorrows of a Young... This story is about a young man who's in love with a woman who's marrying another man. And he's miserable because she won't marry him. She won't break up with the other guy. And, you know, she wants to. She says so, but she won't break up with him. So he decides, murder's the only thing to solve this, but I'm too much of a coward to kill her or him, so I'll just kill myself. So he does in the book. You say, well, what does that have to do with anything? Well, it has to do with the fact that after this book was published, young people were dressing up like him and killing themselves all over Europe as a result of the suicide cluster inspiration, normalization of this. They actually banned the book in several countries, Italy and Denmark, as a result of the suicides, try to stop it from happening. You know, why don't you cover suicide in the news very much? Because we don't want to promote it and give people the idea that it's normal. The danger of talking about atrocious things is the next person who's tempted to do the atrocious thing hears, oh, that's what people are doing. Okay. Or in the Lindsay Clancy trial, oh, she did it and she got away with it. Maybe I can too. Or maybe it's not even voluntary. Maybe it's just I'm close to the tipping point and this is enough to push me over. I think we have a collective responsibility to be careful what we talk about an awful lot, because this problem of patterning yourself off of atrocity is real.
Stream us at NewsRadio 92.3.